one thing that really separates Disney from so many other companies, regardless of what industry you're in, is they have a mission. And I'm not talking about a mission statement. I'm talking a mission that the basic entry-level employee can wrap their head around. And Disney's mission is make people happy. And every employee can wrap their head around that.
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews.
Hi, and welcome to today's episode of the My Future Business Show. I'm on the line with Vance Morris. Now, if you don't know who Vance is, you're just about to, and I don't think you're going to forget once we start talking about his experiences in business. He was the head of Disneyland in Florida. He has gone on to be a very successful on-stage speaker, speaking with the likes of Dan Kennedy. We're talking about Lou Ferrigno, Bob Brown, Joe Polish, and so many other huge names, not big names, huge names. So welcome to the show, Vance. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks, Rick. I appreciate it. This will be fun.
Yes, absolutely. Now, we're not going to be going scripted here. We are going completely unscripted because there's going to be some things on this call today that are going to blow your mind about process and one of the biggest brands in the world. Now, before we do that, Vance, I'd love if you could please to share a little bit about your background with the My Future Business audience.
Certainly. So I did start my business career at Walt Disney World down in Orlando. My crowning achievement down there was the creation and operation of a incredibly big restaurant called Chef Mickey's. Mm-hmm. It's the premier character dining destination. Still is, as a matter of fact, after all these years. And it really came down to all the systems and processes that we put in place. I eventually left Disney. Yes, people actually do leave. And actually, I mean, I took a real big turn and went from Southern Florida up to New England and lived in Boston for a year and a half.
Just around the corner.
I hadn't seen snow in 10 years, and now now here I am. So my travels have taken me down to Baltimore. I've worked in seafood restaurants. I worked for a retirement community for 5 years and ran that. We had 2,500 senior citizens there. And if you ever thought that somebody complained at your business and you get like onesie twosies, try serving the over 65 crowd. Unbelievable.
I can just imagine.
You know, well, I mean, I would sit there and I would have once a month, I'd have round tables with the residents over dinner. And to prove my point that everybody was just slightly off their rocker, I would ask, how are the vegetables this evening? And half of the table would say they're overcooked. Half of the table would say they were undercooked. And I can't win. I can't win.
Now, Vance, I'd love to know, you know, you obviously are very busy. How does your lifestyle look when you're not focusing on serving the needs of others? Are you a very active person? What do you like to do?
Well, I will start off with I have four children, so that busy. Sucks up a significant portion of my free time.
Absolutely.
No, I have one in college. I have a senior in high school who I hope to God he graduates this year. We haven't heard what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And then I've got a couple of middle schoolers, so
right.
still have three at home.
It's very busy times.
Yeah, but that and I took up kayaking.
Oh, well, there you go. That's the sort of thing I want to hear about. You got to
I live near the water. we're about a half a mile from a river that feeds into the Chesapeake Bay here in Maryland. So I've taken up kayaking.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing some insights there. Now, Vance, for everybody who's on the call today, if you are into delivering an experience, if you like business systems and you enjoy having fun, I think you're going to get a big kick out of this. Now, if I can just for a second, Vance, share a little story that we spoke about earlier. I remember going from Australia to Los Angeles to one of the Disneylands over there. And I remember from the moment I got there, my heart was racing with excitement. I didn't know what was happening to me at the time. We lined up at the start of the day and there were literally thousands of people in the line busting to get into this place. The gates open, we filtered through in an orderly fashion. It was all very, very choreographed. And looking back, I wonder why this was, Vance, and I'm wondering if you can share how they got it so right.
Through a lot of trial and error, certainly. I mean, what you've experienced was, 40 years of trial and error. Disney gets a lot of stuff right. Don't misunderstand me.
Mm.
But they also get stuff wrong. At the beginning, when Walt was opening up Disneyland there in California, I don't know if you've heard the story, but I mean, he was running out of money. I mean, he needed this thing to be open and opened quickly. Otherwise, his creditors were going to come after him. And so he ran out of money and didn't have enough money to landscape the front of the park. So he had somebody create signs with Latin names on them of the weeds and the plants that were growing out front. And he just stuck the name of the plant in Latin in front of it to make it look like that's where it belongs.
It was a feature.
What's that? Yeah, it's exactly. It's a feature. it hasn't always been that way, but I will tell you, the systems, my process, I call it systematic magic. And mm-hmm. It's how do you take systems to create a magical experience. And it doesn't matter whether you're, a plumber, a home repair person, a dentist, it doesn't matter. Everything has to be system-based.
Yes.
And I've taken that, even in my small business that I still own, I don't think I mentioned that, I still own a Oriental rug and carpet cleaning business here in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And I implemented all of the systems that I used to have in that business. And that freed me up to be able to go and do what I'm doing now, which is coaching and consulting with people around the world on how to create a great experience for themselves. But I couldn't do it without the systems.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, for everybody who was wondering, Vance does have a couple of books, and we're going to go deep diving into those a little bit later on if we can, Vance. But if we can take people through that journey, just a little bit further in terms of it being a system, you go into Disneyland and then you go to a certain ride. There's no payment once beyond the initial payment. And that was one thing that stuck out for me. Food was in abundance, support was in abundance, smiling faces were in abundance, and there are lots of people doing the same thing that worked for Disney. At the end of a ride, I ended up buying stuff, and I wasn't even sure how it was that I ended up buying stuff, but I knew that I was happy to have this little widget, this toy, whatever it was at the time. This is an incredible system. Can we break some of these elements down as to how they happen?
Yeah, certainly. I think, first and foremost, you have to take yourself out of your business and put yourself in the place of your guest, your patient, your customer, whatever you call them.
Mm-hmm.
And really watch. I mean, Walt used to do this all the time. He would go into the parks incognito and he would watch how many steps did somebody take from the time they bought the hot dog to the time they dropped the garbage on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And he, it was something anywhere between 16 and 20 steps. So he put out trash cans every 16 to 20 steps because he knew that's how long people would carry a piece of garbage with them before they looked around for some place to drop it. Disney also, with the waits, when you're waiting to get on an attraction, Disney's done a lot with, their systems to help people move, and they got the queue, and you can never really tell how long the wait is because, once you get around one corner, oh my God, there's another 1,000 people. but what they've done is they've certainly made it more palatable to be waiting in line obviously it's very hot in Central Florida, so they have misters and fans and mm-hmm. things like that blowing. But the other thing that they've done is they have made waiting in line part of the experience. So if you didn't wait in line to go into the Haunted Mansion at the Magic Kingdom,
yes,
you missed out on a lot of stuff. I mean, there's, the kids can play with the organ. You can read all the tombstones. There's interactive stuff. And Disney's taken that to another level, and they call it linertainment, where they're entertaining you in line. So now they've got people that carry trays of drinks through the line, you know, trying to, if you want a bottle of water or soda or something. Mm-hmm. You know, they have actors that are out there interacting. If you go to the new Galaxy's Edge, which is the Star Wars land in MGM Studios, they have got a ton of costume characters, stormtroopers and Kylo Ren and all these guys just walking around. And their only job is to walk around and interact with people. So, you know, those are the things that, you know, Disney does to make that 3-hour wait for a 5-minute ride not seem so bad.
I never used to be upset. Not once did I ever look back on my experiences standing in the line and ever recall feeling upset by it. I was excited to be there.
And most are. You know, one way actually Disney kind of makes you feel that you have won or beat the system is they will turn the at the front of every ride, they have the amount of time that the wait is in minutes. And what they'll do is they'll actually add 10 or 15 minutes to the time that's posted. And then when you get through it 15 minutes faster than the sign says, you're looking at your watch like, oh, I beat the system. I got it.
Sure you did.
So.
It's funny because, you know, you talked about time and motion study. You've talked about, you know, under-promising, over-delivering with the timing. You've talked about so many things. Now, the one thing I went away with that nobody can, unless I get dementia, was an experience, was a memory of my time there. How much emphasis do you think small businesses, in terms of their service processes, how much should they focus their business on being more of an experience than actually just a business of nuts and bolts and things like that?
You know, if 10,000% was a number, I'd say 10,000%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because face it, Rick, I mean, right now, everything is a commodity. You know, dentists, carpet cleaners, window installers, pick a profession.
Yep.
They've been commoditized because, I mean, a dentist, they, you know, there's only one way to clean teeth. I mean, maybe they have different flavored toothpaste, but it's all that, you know, that god-awful brush that whirs around in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing to separate the dentists except for the experience of the in-office experience that they get. That is the only separator now because, I mean, you know, oh, I clean teeth 4% better than the guy down the street. I mean, that kind of logic, that kind of marketing just does not work. Now, if you, you know, were to, you know, people walk into your office and your receptionist gets up from the desk, walks around the corner, offers you a bottle of water and greets you by name and points over to the counter. Oh, by the way, we also have tea and espresso over here while you're waiting. Please make yourself feel at home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when was the last time you walked into the dentist office and all of that stuff happened?
It's an exception, isn't it? Unfortunately.
Yes. And, you know, I call it, you know, wowing your clients, you know, that's all wrapped up in the experience. But, you know, I mean, even a carpet cleaner can create an experience. I call it creating an experience out of the mundane. Because every business has mundane things that they need to do throughout the day in order for the business to happen, like answering the phone. You know, I've worked with some insurance companies and, you know, when I'm on stage speaking, I'll ask the audience, okay, well, how do you answer the phone? And usually I get some sort of, you know, very boring, you know, thank you for calling Dave's Insurance.
Monotone.
How may I help you?
Yep.
You know, that's what you get.
Yep.
Well, this one guy that I worked with was a rock and roll fanatic. I mean, he had Jimi Hendrix and The Who posters everywhere and platinum guitars and albums and things all over his office. So his personality really shone through. He instructed his team that when they answered the phone, they had to say, thank you for calling Dave's Allstate, the agency that rocks.
Yeah.
And you're going to remember that.
Yes.
Nobody's answering the phone like that.
Yeah. And it's funny, you know, because I do get that that feeling, that sense of, you know, people are frustrated to be in their workplace. Even if you just brought that little bit of energy to the experience, their own job as an employee would improve. Have you seen that transformation?
Oh, certainly. You know, when people know that what they're doing actually matters, you know, which is why I encourage business owners to really talk about your story so that, you know, your origin story, where you came from. Because if you, you know, if you hire, if you've been in business 20 years and you've got an employee that you just hired, well, they don't know any of the history. They don't know the struggles and the troubles and everything that you went through to build your business. By going over that core story with them, they now latch on to, oh, well, this is why we do this. Oh, this is why we do that. And when the employees are engaged, that's when you get the most momentum. And when we design the systems, going back to systems, you know, I always had, when I was at Disney, the hourly cast members were the ones that designed the systems for service.
Those doing the work.
Wasn't a manager, wasn't a leader. Yeah. It was actually the people that were doing that job every single day. And when they had that opportunity to make that into a standard, make that into a system, put it on paper, they felt really proud. And they also now have something that is guidance for new people that that join the organization. So, you know, certainly involving your employees when you're creating your system instead of dictating your system is crucial.
Yeah, this is about ownership. This is about developing leadership skills. And I'm pretty confident that everybody who is on that experience working within the walls of Disney never feels that it's, I guess, an enforcement. It's pushed upon them. It's an encouragement. And I, what did you take away? You know, you when you first went in there, what do you recall as one of your very first early experiences that changed the way you looked at your own business nowadays?
Sure. Well, the one thing that really separates Disney from so many other companies, regardless of what industry you're in, is they have a mission.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm not talking about a mission statement, you know, those 10-page long things that sit up on a board and nobody ever looks at them.
It gets dusty.
I'm talking a mission that the basic entry-level employee can wrap their head around.
Yeah.
Disney's mission is make people happy.
It's pretty simple.
That's it.
Pretty simple.
Make people happy. It's three words.
Yep.
And every employee can wrap their head around that. Now, the mission has to be bigger than their job. So their job might be to sweep the streets and the park, but their mission is to make people happy. And so that's how you bring out that friendliness. That's how you bring out that desire to, you know, fix a problem right when it occurs. You know, and the guy sweeping the street can certainly do that. You know, he watches and, you know, the little kid and the licking the ice cream cone. It's really hot in Florida. The ice cream cone goes slop, you know, onto the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Now the kid is screaming. So he says, okay, well, I got to clean it up, but my mission is to make him happy. So he quickly goes over to the ice cream stand, grabs a new ice cream cone, brings it over, gives it to little Johnny. The parents are happy because Johnny stopped screaming, you know, and all of this seems like it was, you know, magical and planned. Like, where did this guy come from with the fresh ice cream cone?
Yes, absolutely. No,
but that's how somebody who, you know, is a street sweeper creates the magic and makes people happy.
Thank you. I'm loving this. I'm so very excited that you're on the show with me, Vance. Now, I wonder in your own coaching experience with those that you're working with, this idea of simplicity, having a very simple mission statement. I know from experience that when I started out trying to write a mission at getting it simplified, I had no end of trouble. Now, how often do you see people trying overcomplicating this, and what do you do to simplify it for them? Do you talk about this story a lot?
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, I usually when I go into a workshop or a consulting situation, I usually have a big baseball bat with me. I'm just ready to knock
heads. I knew that was coming.
No. No. Well, we try to get down to what is their mission.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. And it does take some time to come up with it. I mean, you know, Disney's first mission was not to make people happy. I don't know what it was, but it certainly wasn't that, because that evolved over the course of the years.
Landscaping.
But yeah, right. I lost my train of thought.
No, that's fine.
Oh, for the
simplifying of the mission.
Yeah. All right. Simplifying the mission. There we go. So we work with the entire team. And I'm like, okay, what are you really doing here? And we'll just go back to our dentist example. You know, the dentist said, okay, well, we clean teeth, we put on braces. I said, okay, that's all the things that you do, all of the tactics that you do. But what do you really do? Well, you know, people tend to smile more when we're done working on their mouth. Okay, go with that, run with that. And, you know, sooner or later, the dentist came up with their mission was to create a million smiles. Bada boom. That was it. Now, that's a lot of patients. I was like, a million? Maybe you want to say 1,000? No, million. That's, we want a million smiles. Okay, great. So
a big audacious goal.
Can wrap their head around that mission.
Yep. Absolutely. And you can see how, you know, just with a little bit of thought, a little bit of planning and just, you know, a few conversations, how you can get people to re-establish what their mission is, especially when you're using the Disney story.
Right.
Now, if we could, I'd love to shift gear and talk a little bit about your speaking experiences, because you've not been on stage with just some, you know, fly-by-nighters. You've been on stage with the best and the biggest, and I'm humbled to be able to spend some time talking with you about that. Now, how did this come about? I'd love to start with Dan Kennedy, the king of response marketing, direct response marketing. How did you get on that stage for GKIC, and how was it for you?
Sure. It's certainly not pay to play, but I've been one of Dan's members for a long time. You know, and as I got the opportunity to talk to Dan, if you know Dan at all, he is a Disney fanatic.
Yes.
I mean, he used to call it the least annoying place on earth. you know,
he has a way, doesn't he?
Yeah. So, but he's progressed in that thought, and he's really a Disney fan now.
Yes. Yes.
So we had those conversations, and he said, you know, I'd love to get you, you know, on an interview for one of his diamond calls. I said, okay, great. So we did that. And then just things started to roll, you know, different people in that organization wanted me on a call for this or on a, interview for that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, soon I was, you know, speaking on those stages, you know, and that really, that's a very big universe when it comes to direct response marketing.
Yes.
I mean, that's almost the center of the universe.
I think so.
People there would see me and say, hey, you know, I run a program for childcare center owners, and I think your message would be great for them. Why don't you, you know, come down to Nashville and present to my group?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that just kind of, really, I haven't done a whole lot of out now, I guess you would call it outbound sales, because just through referrals has been, you know, has filled my schedule.
As far as that applies to lead flow, it's again using the center of the universe and having that behemoth of the experience behind you being Disney. It wouldn't take much for people to go, hey, look, I know about Disney. I'd love to have you share your experience. So thank you very much for telling us a little bit about that. Now, again, let's pivot a little more and talk about what it's like to write a book. You have two books. You have your original, which is Systematic Magic, and now Tales from the Customer Service Crypt. Do you find that it's a natural process for you to write books?
Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't want to minimize it. I mean, you know, some people look at writing a book at like, you know, they're going to be pushing that 10-ton boulder up the hill for the rest of their life.
Yep.
And some people spend years writing them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I took more than 30 days from inception to, you know, completed product, that would be a long time. I actually have 5 books out.
Oh, wow.
Well, 3 of them are for my carpet cleaning business.
Right.
So I have 3 books just for that. And, you know, and having a book positions you as the expert. If there's something out there that if you want to be the authority in your field, writing a book is, I just do it. You know, that's the biggest thing I can say. But, you know, writing it is not difficult. I mean, you could take as simple as come up with the 10 most frequently asked questions for your industry and then answer each one of those questions. You got 10 chapters of a book.
Simple as that.
You know, write a foreword, write an ending, and you're done.
Absolutely. Now, I'd love
that simple.
I'd love to connect this with Dan Kennedy's Lumpy Mail. Have you ever used your book as Lumpy Mail? Do you send it out to people?
Oh, certainly. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a number of, depending on which audience I'm working with, I have three different shock and awe boxes that I do.
Love it.
In addition to Lumpy Mail. Yeah, I actually, I've kind of got the luxury of being tied in with Disney. So I'll send out a big Mickey Mouse plush, you know, in a box to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll send out all sorts of, you know, Disney paraphernalia. I've come across a lot of Disney training materials, like from the 1950s. And while it's not applicable in how to run that particular ride, the design of the training program is still very much appropriate for this day and age. So I'll include reports like that you can't find anywhere, you know, exclusive for me to be able to send out to clients and prospects.
Yeah, it's not hard to deliver an experience when you really stop and think about it, is it? You know, and you talk to, I guess, for lack of better words, the gurus in the direct response marketing space, which you clearly do. You've lent on your experience, and I can just imagine being on the receiving end of your cleaning business right now. It would be magical. Now, for those who are wanting to get their hands on your latest book, Tales from the Customer Service Crypt, what is that about? Tell us a little bit about that book and you know, how that come about for you.
Sure. I always loved that show. It was on HBO back in the 90s, Tales from the Crypt, and mm-hmm. it had that little puppet skeleton guy.
Yep.
And there was always a story, and then there was always a moral to the story. And that's how that show was set up. And I like that design of a story. You know, so I took 10 different customer service experiences that mm-hmm. That I had. I revealed those experiences, good or bad, and then at the end wrapped them up with a lesson for business people. How can you take this and adapt it to your business? And one of the key things, and I know we talk about Disney, and I don't know how many of your listeners actually own a theme park, but I'm going to guess not many. But, you know, people always say, well, you know, it's great. You're always talking about Disney. They're a $158 billion a year company, blah, blah, blah. What's it got to do with me? And if you deal with people, the thing you have to do is not adopt what Disney is doing mm-hmm. because you don't own a theme park. But you can adapt their strategies, their tactics, into any business, and you just have to be open to it. You know, look at it through a different lens. With the carpet cleaning business, you're right. I mean, this is how we talked a little bit earlier about the wow component.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the mundane things that carpet cleaners have to do is get into the home.
Yeah.
And so we have made a complete production out of getting into someone's home. So the technicians park in the street. We don't park in the driveway because we don't want to, God forbid, have a drip of oil or something. they're in a clean, crisp uniform because they always carry an extra uniform with them in the van in case they got dirty on the first job.
Mm-hmm.
They walk up to the door. They lay down a special mat. And in their hands, they have their tool bag and a special gift from me. They knock on the door. They don't ring the bell because salesmen ring and friends knock. They step back and Mrs. McGillicuddy answers the door. They introduce themselves. Hi, my name's Steven. I'm here to take care of your home. May I come in? We ask. We don't just barge in.
Yes.
And then they present the client with the gift. Now, this is a gift that I give. No, we haven't done any business with them. So this is pre-sale, pre-business.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And inside this, it's a custom-made box. And inside the box is a bottle of spot remover, a bag of cookies, and a little note for me saying, thank you very much for letting us into your home.
Value first.
When was the last time a home repair person brought you a gift to your home?
Let me think about that. Never.
Yeah. And here's the crazy thing is that my competitors know I do it, and they're too darn lazy
to do it?
To copy it.
Oh, my goodness. It's such an opportunity.
Everybody knows. You know, I've got the special mat that lays on the floor. We do the whole exaggerated foot wiping thing before we walk in. All of my competitors know, and they're just too lazy to do it.
It's fanfare, now, isn't it?
Oh, unbelievable.
Continue on.
But that gift, which cost me all of about $5, the mm-hmm. most expensive thing in there is the bottle of spot remover. Mm-hmm. It does something else, and it starts a process called reciprocity. So people, you know, when you give something to someone, they naturally feel the urge to give something back.
Yes.
So in this case, we gave them a gift. So now when we start talking about our different packages, our different levels of service, we saw an uptick in our middle package. So we have a basic package, a stain fighter, and a healthy home. We saw an uptick of 26% in that stain fighter package just from implementing this little gift box.
That's incredible. I wonder, does the art of the psychology of selling and reciprocity as it applies to any business, let's shift that idea onto a business that doesn't have a physical product. Let's say that they're online, they're an e-commerce store, just as an example. Can you use reciprocity in an online business, do you think, in the same way?
Oh, certainly. Oh, definitely. I think, so many people now do the free report or the free download, mm-hmm. And a lot of times, everybody knows it's a game. They're just trying to get an opt-in. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times, marketers or, online folks do themselves a disservice by just doing an itty bitty little tease. I mean, I'm a big fan of, I can give you my best stuff right up front.
Yeah.
So, having a book, having, a real process that you can share with people and give and say, and have people at the end of them consuming this gift say, oh my God, if this is what he's given away for free, imagine what I'm going to get if I buy something from it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So yeah, it's definitely applicable to online sales.
Yeah, thank you so very much. There are so many different ways we could take this conversation. And I have so many different questions. I'm just sitting here with, my head in my hands going, wow, this is like a kid in a candy store for me. And I really do appreciate it. And I know full well that the My Future Business audience does as well. Now, when people want to work with you, Vance, what is the process that you take them through and where are they going to find you?
The easiest place to start is at either one of my two websites, deliverservicenow.com. Is probably the best place to start. I do have the Cliff Notes version of my book, Systematic Magic, which you can download. And there's enough in there that if you just did two or three things from those Cliff Notes, you would realize, a nice jump in profits. Mm-hmm. But the process really is, I go through a diagnostic. If it's a one-on-one client, I definitely go through a diagnostic. Asking them, I've got an 87 question questionnaire, mm-hmm. Where they rank themselves on different marketing and service aspects. And based on those answers, we come up with a plan. For my group tours, usually it's, a leader of a business group, usually it may be a group of dentists or a group of childcare center owners or,
yeah,
podcasters, and we all we'll put a trip together. We actually go to Disney for 3 days, and I do tours of Disney. We do classroom. We get backstage, behind, underground, and everything. You get to meet some current Disney executives, and so it's a really cool trip that we put together. But yeah, starting at my website, Deliver Service Now, would probably be the best place.
Best place to go. Now, anybody who has not been to Disney, and I'm not sure that there are many left in this world, or at least those who have returned, if you want to get on this ride and have this experience with Vance, which I highly recommend that you do, having been there myself, and get to see the workings of a magical business and how Vance works himself, reach out to him at the URLs that I've provided below this post, or wherever you find this post, there will be URLs back to Vance. Vance, thank you so very much for spending some time with me on the My Future Business Show today.
My pleasure, Rick. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the call, then make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, share us with your friends, and book your spot on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. And if you're looking for solutions that will help grow your business, then visit myfuturebusiness.com/shop.